hundreds of years ago, it was covered in what they call bottomland hardwood forest, which was pretty much a solid stretch of pretty diverse woodland with different tree species that could tolerate occasional or seasonal flooding from the Mississippi. That whole area used to flood. You know, in the early 20th century, we got flood control, which put levees up and kept the river from flooding, and then all that land got cleared for farming. So functionally, the land was pretty much lost for nature. It was just an intensive agriculture.
So what exactly did the farmers do to restore and protect the wetland?
The two main components are planting bottomland trees, and there's always an exception, but usually they have to do something to restore some hydrology. Part of the problem is that these areas don't get that flood anymore from the Mississippi, so they put different types of water control structures to pond water during at least part of the year.
So the farmers did that, and then you and your team became involved. You went out and did some sampling. Tell us what you did.
The objective was to basically figure out if these wetland reserve programs, these WRP lands, if the frog and toad community was any different between agriculture and WRP. The challenge here is that we can't just go out and count every frog that's out there because most of them are secretive, and so we go out at night and we sample multiple times, and then we developed some methodology and some statistical analyses to estimate, you know, the abundance and the species richness of frogs and toads in these lands.
Now, when you say sample, are you just doing a raw count, or are you actually, you know, examining the frogs and toads to see if they're healthy or not?
We were, yeah. We went out there at night with flashlights, and we captured every individual we saw. We measure them, and we look for any kind of growth, you know, abnormalities or anything like that. We didn't find any signs of that, and we counted. We caught a whole lot more in the WRPs than we did in the ag sites that we visited.
So the restored sites had more species and a larger count within each individual species than the straight ag land.
That's right.
Why is that important?
It's certainly the result we expected, that, you know, if you're restoring hydrology and you're not spraying pesticides and you're, you know, not tilling the land, that you would expect that it would be better for the frogs. What's nice is that these areas have only been in the WRP program for 10 to 12 years, and so we're already seeing a conservation benefit. And we have a lot of reason to think that the frogs are good indicators for what's going on with the system, so that if the frogs are responding positively, we could expect fish and invertebrates and then ducks and other animals to, you know, follow along.
Why are frogs a good indicator? Just because they're easy to sample, or is there something about their biology that they're sort of, for lack of a better analogy, a canary in a coal mine?
That's an analogy that gets used a lot. They're sensitive to contaminants. They're sensitive to alterations in the natural hydrology and things like that. It's their life cycle. You know, they breed in water. They have tadpoles that have to have enough water to long enough to transform. And they're exposed. They have permeable skin, so they're exposed to everything that's in the environment. They can absorb it. And so, yeah, we think that makes them, that along with the fact that they're pretty easy to sample and relatively abundant usually, and so they make a good type of canary, really.